Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. I am here in Dallas with Maddie Lee. Are we recording, Maddie?
Yes.
You look very concerned.
I was looking at the wrong set of numbers.
Okay.
Like, why are those not moving?
Well, I can't see. I can't see the numbers. Final score tonight. The Thunder
don't
could not see.
Don't trust me with technology. Don't trust them with.
Don't trust.
Out. Chris Paul and Stephen Adams.
I didn't even get to the final score. The final score was 107-70. Inconsequential. Because. Preseason. Caveats galore. Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis look ready for the regular season. They were fantastic tonight. They didn't play in the Thunder's first matchup in Tulsa against the Mavericks, where the Thunder played all of their guys. Tonight, no Stephen Adams, no Chris Paul, and it showed. It showed in a lot of ways. Let's start with just the general offensive flow. And when you don't have a guy like Chris Paul, I think you take it for granted. He hasn't been spectacular in the first couple of games.
In the words of Stephen Adams, floor general.
Floor general, little general.
Sometimes little general.
Yeah, and I don't think he's been spectacular necessarily, but he's clearly kind of dialed it back.
Yeah, he's kind of stayed out of the way, but is pulling a lot of different strings.
Yes.
Without showing up that much in the box score.
Not shooting a lot.
Also only playing first halves.
Yeah, only playing the but
4 minutes of one second half.
Now, but this is the thing. The first half is where this thing got away from the Thunder. It was never a game. It wasn't a game after the first quarter.
No.
Because I think they get out to maybe 8-8. Luka scores. It might have been, I think it was 8-5, actually, Thunder. Luka scores the and one on Hamidou Diallo in the post, gets a 3-point play. That starts a 13-3 run for the Mavericks. Thunder never gets within probably 10 from there. If Chris Paul's in the game, you probably get a little bit more offensive control. I think the Thunder started rushing shots.
When you saw a lot, they've been stressing ball movement, and you saw a lot more of that in the first few minutes of, like, the first half of the first quarter, the first eighth of the game, where they're running a lot of handoffs and moving the ball more and running more set plays, and then they just started, as Billy said, getting away from what they're trying to do.
Yeah, they got away from their offense a lot. I thought, in particular, and I wrote about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and his aggressiveness this week, but I thought in portions of all three of the games we've seen, and even the scrimmage, he can over-dribble. And he did that tonight. There were a lot of guys who took shots that they typically don't take. Terrence Ferguson taking mid-range shots. You know, Nerlens Noel pulled a three-pointer. Oh, man.
Hey, you got to miss 20 until you get a feel, according to Stephen Adams.
Look, it's one thing if they're drawing up a play for Stephen Adams to shoot one out of the corner, but Nerlens was shooting a 24-footer. You know, it's a little bit different. You know, just a lot of out-of-the-offense kind of shots, and then they just didn't finish well when we've seen them finish much better in the previous preseason games. And they admitted as much in postgame that, you know, tonight was a night where they got away from moving the ball that the way that they have in the first couple of games. So another thing that really helps your offense is when you can get rebounds, offensive and defensive rebounds, and they got smoked tonight.
They only had 6 offensive rebounds.
And how many do the Mavericks have?
13.
There you go. Stephen Adams effect.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, Stephen Adams, he hasn't had big rebounding games this preseason, but he's been impactful in terms of, you know, his work on the glass and just putting bodies on people. So when you got guys like Kristaps Porzingis, you know, coming down with, what, 13 rebounds, Luka Doncic has 10. Maxi Kleber was a guy who was running in for putback dunks. DeLon Wright had 7 rebounds. He dominated Dennis Schroeder with a big size advantage there. It helps to have a guy like Stephen Adams in the lineup. You know, if the Thunder plays a full-strength lineup, they might play Terrence Ferguson over a Dennis Schroeder, who was awful offensively and defensively tonight. So this was a game where you had to just look at it as, you know, not only did the Thunder not have two really keys to their offense and defense, but the guys that did play didn't run offense as well as you'd like to see them run offense too.
Guess who had the most rebounds on Thunder? They were all defensive though.
I think at one point I looked up Danilo Gallinari at 6.
He did have 6, but he was not the most.
Okay.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 8.
Good for him. That's 8 more assists than he had.
Yeah, he had no assists. he has not had as many assists at all this preseason as I expected him to.
Some of the assists...
He has more hockey assists.
Yeah. And some of it is that he's off ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
in the second halves of games, he's playing a lot more on ball. He's running the point a lot more when Chris Paul goes to the bench.
And that's when he becomes more aggressive and starts to attack. Mm-hmm. He's almost taken on sort of a, the way that Dennis Schroeder would take on the role when he comes in the second half and starts to attack the rim more. Schroeder's actually distributed the ball pretty well.
Yeah, he has.
Based on his assist totals. But Gilgeous-Alexander playing off the ball to start the games, going into a lot of isolation, in the second half because Chris Paul hasn't played a lot of second half minutes. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out because we've talked to Billy Donovan about this before. He wants him to strike a balance. And it's difficult to strike a balance when you're playing different roles and so many different roles within a game. He's having to be off ball with Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder lineups. When those guys are out, he's on ball, and they're asking him to create offense, not just for other players, but to get buckets himself because there's not a lot of offense on the floor. So they're asking a lot of different roles for this guy at 21 years old, and I wonder how it's going to work for him over the course of a season, particularly when they end up or if they end up trading Danilo Gallinari and Chris Paul.
Right. Well, and you saw Schroeder go through a similar thing where he had – 3 different roles in the game. This was just with just 2 point guards. He had 3 different roles in the game, and so he had a pretty up and down season as he was trying to figure out those roles. And now you interject a third, and he's 21 and has to figure. Like it's a lot different to be like, hey, last year he played both on ball and off ball, had success. We keep harping away at how he led the Clippers through playoffs as a rookie and this, that, and the other, which is all very impressive. But now it's certainly an adjustment to come in and have to, defer to a veteran point guard who, granted, to Chris Paul's credit, has been real cognizant about getting Shai the ball and keeping him involved and all that. But it's a lot to throw at a guy, and it's going to take time for him to figure it out.
Yeah, tonight was one of those where you realize how much of stabilizers Chris Paul and Steven Adams are on both ends, because their absence was so noticeable, not just when you look at the stat sheet, but just how the Thunder got offense going or got possessions going.
There was like a panicky...
Yes. You're absolutely right.
They got behind and they panicked.
Yeah.
And that's when you saw them getting away from the stuff that they've been doing.
Yeah. And on the defensive end, the Mavericks don't shoot particularly well. They had shot, in the low 40s for a majority of the game, and then they end up finishing around 45%.
42.
They don't shoot the 3 particularly well. Nope. Now, they get off a ton of threes, which isn't what Billy Donovan wants ideally, but in the game before, I think they got off a ton of threes too. But
yeah, they're 13 of 40.
The problem with some of those defensive possessions is they play a great defensive possession and then they give up an offensive rebound.
That killed them.
That kills you. Regardless of however many second chance points they have, how many did they have, I don't know. But that's just extra possessions you have to play defense, and that wears you out.
It's not on this final box.
Give me that.
It's not. I'm not making this up.
You're absolutely right. There's way too many people on this box, so they had to extend it to the bottom of the page. Whatever. It's preseason. Let's just jump into it. What do we like? What do we didn't like? What do we not like? Maddie, what did you like tonight?
Wait, you just asked me what I didn't like and what I liked.
I'm going to say let's jump into what we liked and what we didn't like from tonight.
Which one did you want first?
What did you like?
Oh, okay. You're giving me mixed signals.
No, I'm not mixed. You just didn't hear me. What did you like?
I liked Hamidou Diallo's defensive effort.
Yes. Yes.
He was good on Luka Doncic all night. And that is a tiring assignment. That is a tough assignment. That is an assignment that he would not have got last year. And he came in and showed a lot of growth in that area. And that's what, like, that's something that you can, like, this was a mess of a game. And there are a lot of ifs, ands, and buts. But one thing that you can't, that you're not going to put qualifiers on is Hamidou Diallo was guarding the best offensive player on the Mavs.
On either team. Tonight.
True. Tonight. And he held his own. Absolutely. He gave him some trouble, especially early on. He forced two turnovers in span of just a few minutes. There was a traveling and offensive foul.
Yeah.
And really close. I mean, he wasn't perfect, but you're never going to be perfect against a guy like Luka Doncic. And I think it was something like so he also fouled a lot. So Luka scored a lot. I think before Hami fouled out, Luka had scored 8 of his 18 points on foul shots. He didn't foul out, sorry. Before he sat because he was in foul trouble. So before he got his fifth, by the time he got his fifth foul, Luka had scored 8 of his 18 points on foul shots, and he only shot like 4 of 9 or something like that from the field. So,
which is a good percentage, but again, you have to look beyond just those percentages, and you got to see what is this guy making him do? What kind of shots is he making him take? There are particular instances where Luka would drive, Hami would cut him off, where Luka would, you know, take a step back dribble, Hami wouldn't bite. And Luka would have to take a damn 27-footer because he's trying to set up the step back to draw a foul, but Hami doesn't bite on it. Mm-hmm. There were just those clusters of possessions where you were really impressed. Even the ones where Hami eventually was called for a foul in the post, he was arms straight up, and Luka was drawing the contact by leaning in. So Diallo stonewalled him a couple of different times, more than a couple of different times, probably a handful of times on defense. There was even a possession where Luka kind of lost possession of the ball and they went to the floor, and I think they got a jump ball out of it. But
I think there's a foul called on Hami on that.
Oh, was that a foul on that one? Mm-hmm. He got some raw deals on some of the foul calls, which he made pretty evident after the game. I like the way he expressed himself about that.
He didn't say it.
He said it without saying it.
His face said it without his mouth saying it.
He said it without saying it. But like you wrote, like you said, I think that it was important to see that from Hamidou Diallo, because it's a guy who really struggled defensively last year. And you don't know if it's going to last all season, but these are the kind of growth signals you want to see from guys going into their second year. Who struggled as much as they did. I mean, earlier in the night, you mentioned Terrence Ferguson, a guy who struggled first year. Going into his second year, you don't know what you're going to get from him. And early on, it doesn't look great. But as the season goes on and Billy Donovan trusts the guy, Ferguson becomes one of your most important defensive players. You're hoping you can get the same from Hamidou Diallo.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get close to the development that they saw in Ferguson from year one to year two, they're in a good spot. And that's, I mean, Hami has talked about how the word he used, we went back and looked at the quote, the word he used was that there's a different kind of quote-unquote hunger in training camp because you have all these young guys who are competing for positions on the wing. And so for him, showing growth defensively is going to be huge in making a case for getting minutes.
Yeah, because his offense isn't good enough to compensate for him being a bad defender. And that's what killed him last year. He got to a point where teams figured out his offense and, you know, just sagged off and forced him to take jump shots, and his defense wasn't any good, so you couldn't play him anymore. So if he's going to get on the floor, it's got to be high percentage shots, defense. He has the athletic ability to be a good defender. He's got the length, and he cares. So what you see tonight, you hope he can replicate that. And another thing that I thought about with Hamidou Diallo is it's better to actually have him on ball because I think he can kind of lose his concentration when he's off ball, particularly when he's like the weak side defender and they swing the ball to the weak side for a three-point shot. I think he can lose his concentration when he's in those scenarios. I think it's better for almost better for younger players to like be on ball because they have less to worry about, less guys cutting, less of the, you know, how far do I go to help over? And yeah, he's gonna draw fouls. He's gonna have games where he fouls out or he struggles with his fouling. But Terrence Ferguson learned to kind of control that a little bit as he went along.
Yeah, and you see young players have to go through, even like Andre Robertson, you have to go through a period of time where, I mean, and this is not to put it all on the officiating. Like, a lot of it does have to do with you learning how to be more in control on defense and such. But there is an element where, especially against big name guys, officials are going to naturally give the guy that they know the benefit of the doubt
benefit of the doubt
as opposed to a young guy trying to make his name.
And let's not put it just on the officials or anything like that. Like, Luka's good.
Luka's really good, man.
He's one of those guys who, you know, Russell Westbrook always says, "Oh, I don't have to score to impact the game." And it's like, yeah, well, you're not impacting the game that much at the other stuff either, Russell, because you're kind of, you're not playing defense or whatever. Like, Luka's kind of like a Russell kind of guy. Like, he does do a lot of stuff. Well, he gets rebounds. He passes the ball extremely well. He gets out on the break and finds open shooters. That was a bad Russell analogy. That was actually a compliment to Russell. Luka has his hands on a lot of stuff offensively. So even when his shooting percentages aren't great, he's doing the other stuff like rebounding and getting guys open shots, and he did that really well tonight.
And drawing fouls is a skill.
Yes. I mean,
you see that with Harden all the time. Like, it's not just the officials. It's also that a lot of these guys who have been in the, I mean, and Luka hasn't been in the league for,
but Luka's been a pro.
A pro for a long time, which Carlisle made that point pregame.
Yeah, he did make that point because we think of Luka as rookie of the year, second year guy, but no, you have to think about how much more professional experience he has than a Hamidou Diallo. Like, that's a guy who didn't even play a lot at Kentucky. Like, he's got miles more of experience than this guy. So he knows crafty ways to get guys in positions on defense that he can exploit them, that he can draw fouls off of them. And then he's playing with a guy like Chris Porzingis, who's 7'3", and can pull up from 28 feet.
It is insane.
He's ridiculous. He's absolutely ridiculous. And he's such a good shooter for that size.
Are you ready to remember all the times that you said that I was too hyped on Dallas? Are you ready to start coming over to my side a bit? What you saw from Luka and Kristaps didn't push you a little?
I think I might have to eat crow on Dallas a little, but it's still preseason, and they didn't play Steven Adams and Chris Paul. I don't think that these guys would have gotten as many rebounds and had as much. They still didn't shoot the ball particularly well, even with
without Chris Paul. They're also in preseason, and Kristaps hasn't played in 20 months.
He looks good.
He looks really good.
He looks a lot better than I thought he would.
He looks a lot better than Andre Robertson trying to get back on the court.
Andre Robertson doesn't look like anything because he hasn't played any games. Luka could average a triple-double if he wanted to. Like, if they really wanted him to average a triple-double, he could. But he's not. That's just not going to be necessary for them. But
he was close tonight, only playing 27 minutes.
He's just got his hands on so much. If he played 37 minutes a game, he could probably average
in close to 27 minutes. He had 19. This is preseason. We have already done all the caveats, but 19 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists,
and they shoot it. They shoot it pretty well. I'm going to. I'm gonna wait and see on Dallas. I want to wait and see.
Well, you can't wait that long because we got predictions coming up for our preview.
They just played the Thunder without Steven Adams and Chris Paul, who are unquestionably important to both ends for those teams. I mean, for this team.
Yes.
They played Detroit in the other game where they played together, and Detroit's
Detroit. I'm still not making them a playoff team. I'm just saying, what did they have them at? Like 9 or 10? I don't even remember.
Win what?
In the West.
In the West?
Yeah. And you had them all down at like, I don't know.
Well, hell, there's not that many places to put them. Well, think about it. Like, I think I had the Kings at 9. Either the Kings or the Pelicans.
No, you had
nine.
The Pelicans.
I had Pelicans,
nine.
Kings, and then maybe I had the Thunder, and then the Mavs, and then I had the Mavs ahead of Minnesota, Memphis, and Phoenix. So basically, you're saying that you want me to just put the Mavericks ahead of the Thunder.
That's basically all
you're saying.
I just want them bumped up one place. we'll go back and run the tape.
If you want me to bump the Mavs up one place, I can consider that. But I'm not putting the Mavs at 8 or 9. They're not 8 or 9 or 9 or 10. I don't think they're a better team than the Kings, and I don't think they're a better team than the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans have more weapons.
I agree. I also had the Pelicans at 9, and I can't remember if I had.
And I think the Pelicans are going to defend them pretty well too. I think they can defend them pretty well.
We're both excited. This has become the Pelicans Buddies podcast. We've talked so much about the Pelicans this offseason.
They're
we love the Pelicans.
Zion's intriguing. What else?
It's my turn to say something I liked.
I liked Gallinari. Gallinari's a player, man. He's a really good player. And he's just so smooth. He can get his shot off against anybody. I actually liked one of the few things I liked about the Thunder's offense tonight is they did work to get Gallinari mismatches. And I thought that he got some really advantageous mismatches in the post against smaller defenders. He didn't make the shot all the time. But I did like the way that the Thunder was patient in regard to getting him mismatches against guys. But yeah, he's been, you know, the two games we've seen him play, he's been great.
He really has.
I think he's been competent defensively. The Thunder as a whole could have rebounded better tonight, so I'm not going to put that all on him. But his shooting is, it seems to be replicable, or I don't think he's going to shoot 43.3% like he did from three last year, but he can shoot 40. I totally think he can shoot 40 in this offense. He's going to get a ton of free throw attempts.
Especially if anyone else wants to shoot well, too.
Yeah, it'd be nice. but I think Gallinari is going to play, and he's going to play well as long as they can keep him healthy. And that's a big key for him. And the Thunder's going to be able to trade him for somebody pretty nice when it comes that time. Or maybe an additional pick. And a good young player, or a couple of players, but no, Gallinari looked good tonight. Looked well rested.
All right, don't likes.
Don't likes.
My number one, and this kind of is cheating because it covers a lot of things, but I don't like that they weren't able to stop the bleeding. As in, especially on the offense, where, like we talked about, they panicked when things started going badly. They started pushing, and they started getting out of what they want to do. And they've got to figure out a way, when you don't have veterans on the floor, to recoup and make an adjustment and be like, okay, do we see what we're doing? All right, let's stop that.
Yeah, that was disheartening for me, particularly from Schroeder, Ferguson, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I didn't like the way that really any of those guys played offensively tonight. I know it's tough for Ferguson right now because, you know, Billy Donovan's kind of messing with some things, and trying to see where guys fit and play in different lineups and rotations. But Ferguson's got to be patient and not force shots that he's not used to taking. You know, he had, I think he had one from the baseline. That wasn't great. Had a good three look. Schroeder was awful tonight, but he's been, for the most part, he's been pretty decent the first couple of games of preseason. But he was awful tonight. But I was talking about this earlier. I wasn't even as disappointed in Schroeder's offense, even though he went 1-for-10, as I was in his defense. He was not good against DeLon Wright. And I know that's a size disadvantage, but Schroeder's played better against guys with size before. Well, that was not a good defensive effort from Dennis Schroeder.
And we talked about this in the – we didn't stop talking before podcasting, but –
No, we don't need to stop talking before podcasting because it helps us formulate our ideas.
Well, like I said, like I told Eric as we were walking around the arena post game, Schroeder actually had a couple nice defensive possessions at the early in the game. I think he ended up on Luka for one and really held his own. And, you know, that's a guy who low-key towers over him.
High-key.
And then it didn't last.
Yeah, he's got some engagement focus issues too. I think Schroeder kind of drifts in and out. And then with SGA, it's just a matter of kind of, he got cooking in the third quarter. He started to make more around the rim, but I think sometimes he can get tunnel vision when it comes to his offense. Yeah. And I didn't think his defense was particularly good tonight.
No, either. It wasn't. And he and Nerlens had a few miscommunications where one of them was switching, yes, and the other one wasn't.
And Nerlens has got to stay home.
It's just like, oh my gosh.
Look, Nerlens, you know what Kristaps Porzingis is going to do. Stay home on the three-point line, please. Because Nerlens is drifting over with the guard, dribbling one way, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's got it covered. But Nerlens Noel's gone rogue. And we're like, no, I can see it. I can see it all the way from my seat. I'm like, what are you doing? And then Kristaps is just standing there wide open.
Why?
It makes no sense.
He likes those steals. Also, they switched a ton last year. I wonder if some of it's a little carryover from them. Although he switched more than anyone else.
But they didn't even switch that much tonight. I just think that Nerlens just went rogue a couple times. I don't think they switched a lot tonight.
No. Yeah. No, I was saying last year.
Okay. But no, it's preseason. You're ironing out stuff. You're not playing with two of your key players. Did I say what I didn't like, or did you say what you didn't like?
I said what I didn't like.
Crap, what did I not like? I didn't like that Steven Adams and Chris Paul didn't play. That stunk.
also,
what else did I not like?
Not a great sign if they're thinking about getting rid of either of those guys.
They didn't get to the line as much as they should have. And some of that, I think, is, you know, Gallinari is a guy who's a big part of that. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander probably didn't get some of the calls that he got in the first couple of games.
He also traveled a couple times, but wasn't called for it. He got away with a couple travels.
How many free throws?
One that was like very obvious. Just slipped.
Yeah, he only shot two free throws. Basically got to the line more than him. But no, you know, they got there 16 times. Steven Adams is gonna kind of skew that a little bit too, because he gets to the line. He's probably your top free throw attempt guy or second.
Bottom free throw average.
Yeah, he's not a great average, but he'll get to the line. They only shoot 56%. Ugh. Basically missed three. That was awful. But no, they put Luka on the line 11 times. That hurts.
Yeah, that's where a lot, obviously, if you do the math, that's where a lot of his scoring came from. But
yeah, I agree. I didn't like that they got so frantic so early. And I just think a lot of that is, it's scary to think that a lot of that is based on Chris Paul and Steven Adams, because Chris Paul's a guy who they could trade. And Steven Adams is a guy who a lot of teams are probably going to call about. Even if the Thunder doesn't want to directly trade him, teams are going to be asking about Steven Adams this season. You see his value. I know people have talked about him being overpriced. I've even said it before. I think the guy's properly priced, because you see his value on this particular team when he's not on the floor, offensively and defensively. He's just calming. He mm-hmm. doesn't rattle. He doesn't do stuff out of his realm. And that's the stuff that gets this particular Thunder team in trouble when they start doing stuff out of their realm.
And even when he's having bad games, he's not frantic. He's just like not doing things at the rate that you aren't used to seeing him do.
No. And Chris Paul is never frantic. I think Chris Paul is under control. Like there are times where he's dribbling up the floor and I'm like, why don't you push? And he's kind of just looking. But it's been amazing to watch him the first two games because his head and his eyes are always moving. And it's so fun to watch. He's just always looking, always moving. Like, who's this guy? Who's that guy? He's probing. He's looking. And it's like he's never tunnel vision. He's always 360 degrees of vision. And that's fun to watch, man. And I'm looking forward to see Chris Paul when he really turns it on, because I think he's been kind of just pacing himself these first couple games.
Absolutely. I think
that's about it.
With the score was 107-70. How much more can we talk about?
I'm gonna pat us on the back for a minute and say that was a pretty good analysis for a 37 point blowout preseason game.
Nice job. We're almost in regular season form.
We're getting there. I
just need one more game.
I don't know who they're going to throw out there this next game, but Steven Adams doesn't really have anything else to prove, obviously. I figure they'll play him, but not much.
Someone the other day asked Billy Donovan if he was going to use any of these last two games as kind of like a dress rehearsal for the regular season. And Billy, very non-committal, was like, maybe that's something we'd look at in the second game. So that would be Wednesday's game. But like, it wasn't like that's what we're going to do. It was like, we're not doing that on Monday.
I'm not going to be hurt if he doesn't play the game. If he does the whole thing where he plays the guys up until half, or he doesn't play Chris Paul in the second half, doesn't play Gallinari in the second half, plays Steven Adams and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander some into the third. I want to see Darius Baisley play more. I want to see Terrence Ferguson play more. I think Ferguson and Schroeder are guys that have kind of, up until this game, I thought Schroeder played pretty well. But I want to see Ferguson get a little bit more rhythm going into the regular season.
I thought Muscala was going to get more time than he has this preseason, and I can't tell if he's not get it, you know, he had 8 minutes tonight. I can't tell if that's because that's kind of what his usage is going to be in the regular season, or if Billy just wants to see more of Justin Patton, or a combination.
I wouldn't mind. We joked about Billy not playing Nerlens in the second game. I wouldn't mind seeing more Muscala and Patton in the last game. Now that we made our Nerlens jokes, I wouldn't mind
seeing him again.
Send him again. I know what he looks like.
We covered him last year.
I know what Nerlens Noel looks like not staying home on Kristaps Porzingis. I know what that looks like. Okay, Nerlens had four blocks tonight. He got mad after Maxi Kleber had that putback. He had four blocks tonight, so he made his presence felt after the Thunder was down like by 28 points. Anyway, let's wrap it up. Thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast. Thanks for listening, subscribing, liking on Apple Podcasts. And we will see you Wednesday night after Memphis.